Sometimes the hardest place to be is right where you are. Sometimes the hardest place to be is right where you are. One of the great gifts of Eastern spiritual practice is that of mindfulness. Have you heard of that? Have you ever tried to do that? Mindfulness. It's kind of a spiritual discipline. It's a habit of being present. Being present right here, right now. Sometimes in the West we call it contemplation or meditation. I call it, as a Christian person, that for me is a practice of prayer. But to be mindful, to be in the moment, to be fully here, fully now, 100% undistracted, 100% free of interference, liberated from the stuff that pulls on us. Because sometimes the hardest place to be is right where you are. Maybe this has been your experience too, but this has been kind of a season for me when it's hard to be here. I don't mean at Our Savior's. Maybe you feel it too, but it's hard to be 100% in the moment, 100% in this place. I feel, I don't know, troubled, feel anxious, probably honestly feel angry a lot. This kind of generalized dis-ease with the way things are, discontented, probably has something to do with the changes in my life. I mean, I look around, and so do you. I look around at the changes in the country that I love. There's new rules, and there's new voices and new facts. But also in the church that I love, there's changes there. The building is different, and I have different keys in my pocket. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of one room planning to go to another room, and then I realize you can't get there this way. Or I start off going somewhere to retrieve something so I can bring it back, and then halfway there I'm distracted because, oh, wait a minute, that's right, that's not there anymore, it's in a different place. And then somebody stops me to ask, well, you know, where is that thing? And I say, I don't know, expletive deleted, you know. I'm also not completely at home or fully present in my own body. It's gone through some changes. This body that I've loved for so many years now requires more attention, now requires more exercise and medicine and rest than it used to. It's been a season like that. Do you know what I mean? Some called it spiritually dissociative disorder. I feel personally dysphoric, a little weird. Some of you have told me, have said things to me like, you know, I wake up at night, I'm worried, and I'm ticked off, and I don't like it, and I don't know what I should do. Sometimes the hardest place to be is right where you are. I don't know, I may be dreaming, I may just be feeling sorry for myself, but the world is changing, and I haven't quite figured it out. Dr. Donna Shimel is a speaker and a leadership consultant. She's an author, and she borrows from the world of developmental psychology. And she talks about what she calls the cognitive triangle. And I thought, if you're willing, maybe in front of you there's a pencil and you can write on the back of your yellow slip or in the margin of your everyone pages. But I'll know how serious you are if I see you reaching forward to grab something. Make a little triangle, a little equilateral triangle. You know, if you're an engineer, you know what that is, right? It's just make a triangle. It's got 3 points. And if you're willing, we'll call this our cognitive triangle, and we'll borrow from Shimel this idea that human experience provides impetus or stimulus, right? And then there's kind of 3 ways we process or we behave or we react in the face of that. So choose a corner, any corner of your triangle, and write on there the first one, emotions. See, I see some of you not writing, and I, you know, it's okay, but frost me a little bit, you know. No. Write on there, emotions, okay. Now, you know, emotions occur. I'm not in charge of them. Emotions happen. We can manage them, but they are really physiological experiences. Emotions happen. Okay, choose another corner on your triangle, anyone you want. Thoughts. Thoughts we can choose. We are in charge of those, right? We can manage that process. Okay, the third one, and you can probably guess what it is. The third leg on your triangle, right on there, actions. You know, behavior, actions. Truth is, some of those are voluntary and some of those are less so. Some of those we're aware of and some of those we're unaware of. Okay, so you got your three-legged triangle: emotions, thoughts, and actions. Shamel likes to call this the power of the pause. So we get to those moments in our life when it's hard to be where we are, and it's worth stopping. It's worth being mindful. It's worth taking a moment just to kind of take some inventory, to look carefully at all that stuff. And she suggests that this pause is a way to find our bearings again. So the first question for you, and you don't have to tell anybody, the first question for you is, what am I feeling right now? Jim just wrote bored on his, but no. Sometimes that's a tough one. And this is probably sexist, but for men, we don't have much of a feeling vocabulary. Hungry is not an emotion. but fear, maybe you wrote down jealous, maybe you wrote down lonely, maybe you wrote ashamed, surprised, angry. Right now. Second question, you can guess, what am I doing? In this moment, what am I doing? Well, I'm playing with my pencil, or I don't know. Maybe you're aware of your posture, the frequency of your breathing, your facial expression, okay? What am I feeling? What am I doing? And finally, the third question, right now, what am I thinking? What's for lunch, you know? I don't know. What am I thinking? How long is this sermon going to go anyway? In your brain, are you right here or are you somewhere else? This is Shamel's pause, the power to stop for a moment and be aware. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? I wonder if chapter 17 of Matthew's gospel comes out of one of those kind of moments. If there for the disciples, it's a hard place to be. I mean, on the one hand, they've been following Jesus and it has been extraordinary. It has been beautiful. They're following Jesus and discovering God everywhere they turn. There's healing, there's love, there's forgiveness, there's compassion, there's resistance to the powers all around them. What a heady, wonderful sort of experience that must have been. But it's not hard also to imagine that it must also have been very difficult. A strange kind of experience, unexpected surprises, their world turned upside down. So is Jesus watching them and introducing a pause? Introducing a moment when they can just stop. They're dazzled by Jesus' appearance. In the Greek, the word is transfigured, but that's the only place in the whole Bible where that word gets used. He looks different, somehow shining and amazing, so bright that, you know, do the disciples have to look away? They're maybe on their knees, trembling. So upset, a mix of awe and fear and disorientation. And that's when Peter starts to blabber. His default position is, just talk. I can't relate to that at all, But he starts, going on about booths and building and, oh, Jesus, let me tell you what to do, And then I love verse 5, while he was still speaking, suddenly a cloud overshadowed them. And that's when it happens. That's when they hear the voice. When they hear God speak. But they didn't hear it until when? Till the cloud came. Wasn't the bright light. Wasn't the voice. I mean, it was the cloud. It was the fog. God was in the blur. God in the vapor. God in the mystery. Just about the time you and I like to think that God shows up when things are clear and coherent. Just about the time you and I think that God shows up when things are plain and obvious and simple and clear. That's not the way it goes. No, God instead shows up in the midst, in the mist and the confusion. When I can't see what's next, when I don't know which way is up or down, when I'm no longer sure of things. Sometimes the hardest place to be is right where you are. And that's where God shows up. Now, Jesus doesn't leave it there. In fact, Jesus goes on to love Peter, love James, love John, and I have to believe Mary and Martha and all of them. Jesus loves them enough to stay with them. Stay with them in their doubts and confusion, in their anxiety, in their anger. These cherished and beloved ones of Jesus, in their utter disorientation, become the objects of God's affection. So you remember your little triangle? Can you name the corners? What are they? Emotion, thoughts, and actions. Yeah. Does any of that correspond with what the disciples heard in the cloud? This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Interesting. Pay attention. Think. Understand. What I can still hear my dad say, use your head. Right? What else? What else do they hear? In verse 7, Jesus touches them and says, get up. And there it happens to be the same word for resurrection. Jesus says, get up. In short, act, move, do something. And then finally, thirdly, just as Jesus has said so many times before, what? Do not be afraid. Thoughts and actions and feelings. Don't be afraid because I am with you. I am with you even to the end of the age. So listen. Get up. Don't be scared. Amen.